A few weeks ago, we talked about the passage in Revelation 3 where Jesus gave the messages to the angels of the churches that were to be delivered. And you recall that some were commendations, some were corrections, and then others were rewards. And I feel like we didn't quite cover everything that we could have covered in the Church of Laodicea. And I want to go back to that today and kind of do a deeper dive. And I'm calling this Lukewarm in Laodicea. And before I get started, I want you to understand I am not thinking that we are lukewarm. That is not the purpose. The purpose is learning. And I hope that that's what we take away from this today. To repeat the scripture, Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy gold of me tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I want to go through the outline will be a bit about the city, a bit about the church, then the message itself will break down into each component, and then about lukewarmness in general. So all of the seven churches in Asia Minor that were referenced in Revelation 3 were in Turkey. I didn't know that, so I researched it and looked at the map, and they're in Turkey. Laodicea was described as a place that was not of much importance until the year 250 BC when King Achaeus named it after his wife, who was very popular, Laodice. And it was situated 99 miles east of Ephesus, 11 miles west of Colossae, and located right on a major river called Lycus. So it quickly became a major trade route, and the primary exports were highly coveted black wool textiles that were grown, manufactured, and produced in Laodicea, gold, and eye salve. The city grew to become a financial and banking center, and they had a coin mint there, and wealth grew exponentially. But it had a major deficit in the city, and that was a poor water supply. The water came from 6 miles away from the city, piped through an aqueduct, and the city was fraught with interruptions, you might say, from other neighboring cities and towns that would divert the water or shut off the source of the water. So it was a major problem for them. In 60 AD, the city suffered a devastating earthquake that literally left it in rubble. And seeking freedom from their oppressors, the Laodiceans decided they would not accept any governmental assistance from anyone to rebuild. They would rebuild it out of their own pockets. And this they did, and then improved the water system so that they didn't have to depend or be subject to outside interference. But in doing so, they integrated foreign influence in the arts, in the literature, in science, and in religion. They also built a very famous medical school that created an ear medication that was not available anywhere else in the world, as well as the eye salve that was spoken of in the scripture. And these were exported around the world along with the black wool. The church was established when Emperor Antiochus relocated, you guys try saying all these words, relocated 2,000 Jewish families from Babylon to Phrygia, which was just a few miles away from Laodicea. And many of those Jewish families converted to Christianity. And along with the few Gentiles who were already there, that formed the basis of the church. If you remember in Paul's letter to Colossians 4:16, he asked them to share the letter that he sent to them with the brethren at Laodicea to encourage and lift them up. History says that the church was most likely planted by Paul's assistant, Epaphras, because he also planted the church at Colossae. I read that it was unclear whether the Christians worshiped in the beautiful churches that were built after the earthquake, or whether they were primarily a community of faithful believers that gathered in homes. So we're not sure about that. A new ruler, Domitian, declared himself a god and made a decree that all the people would worship him. The Christians, or be killed. The Christians were considered a sect or an offshoot of the Jews, and therefore, that at first, they were given an exemption from the decree to worship this ruler. But as more and more Gentiles joined the church, it lessened the balance of the Jews, and the Christians lost their exemption. They were forced to worship Domitian or lose their ability to buy and sell. Since they felt it was more important to maintain their wealth and their status in the city than it was to remain faithful to God, they let go of their beliefs and acquiesced to the forced worship. You know, it's noteworthy to mention here that the church at Smyrna was under the very same persecution as the church at Laodicea, but they did not bow down. And they went through it, and God took them through it, even to death, as the Bible says to some of them, in their affliction and their poverty. And now I want to look at some of the phrases and words that Jesus gave to the angel in this passage. I want to read it in the Amplified Version. I counsel you to buy from me gold that has been treated red hot and refined by fire so that you can become truly rich, and white clothes representing righteousness to clothe yourself so that the shame of your nakedness will not be seen, and healing salve to put on your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I rebuke and discipline, showing them their faults and instructing them. So be enthusiastic and repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior, and seek God's will. Behold, I stand at the door of the church, and I continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, restore him, and he with me. So Jesus said, I counsel thee. The Laodiceans had education, government, banking, manufacturing, shipping moguls, but they were unwise. Even in the face of the persecution, they didn't turn to God and seek his counsel. These words were spoken by Jesus to the angel to indicate that a very important message was forthcoming, such as might be given to a group of financial advisors about the next great investment that they should pay attention to. I think it was in the 80s we had an ad that said, When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. They had everything, yet they were spiritually cold. To buy of me, Isaiah 55:1 says, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Jesus is saying here, I don't want your earthly riches. I don't need them. I want your heart. Buy true riches from the proper source, Jesus himself. They could buy whatever they wanted physically. They had untold wealth, but Jesus was saying the only investment worth having is that of standing on faith in God and consecrating your life to him, even in the face of strong persecution and or the potential loss of wealth. For only this will buy true riches. Gold. I read that the coins minted by the Laodiceans had the image of Zeus on their face. They were made of cheap alloy and even synthetic materials, so they were not pure, they were not real, they were fake. These coins had a very low melting point and could not withstand the fire in the furnace. So Jesus contrasted that and said, buy gold of me, invest in me, pure and free from dross or cheap alloy. My gold is the real deal. Buy of him gold that's already been tried in the fire and burns hot until it glows and burned off the dross, leaving only the purest form of the metal. Jesus' intent here was to tell them that in their sufferings, as though they had been through the fire, is what would make them pure and rich in Christ. White raiment. I'm a textile person. I love fabrics. Going to a fabric store is my, I could spend hours and hours and dollars in a fabric store. So I was really interested about this. The sheep they grew had purple black wool that was the texture of velvet. And they were famous for it. They shipped it all over the world. It had high value because the demand was great. But it caused them to become proud and self-righteous and blind to their own spiritual nakedness. Jesus wanted them to strip off the old garments of pride and exchange them for his white garments of humility and righteousness. Philemon 3:9 says not to let your shame or nakedness appear, but just as the Pharisees, so were the Laodiceans in this regard, because they could only see their own good. Eye salve. How ironic that the medical school that was created, manufactured, and sold these products worldwide, but they were the very thing that they lacked the most, spiritual insight. The Holy Spirit is the eye salve that allows us to see what God intends for us to see and to know in the Spirit. Even though they had boasted of their own enlightenment, Jesus said they were blinded from their own self-deceit. His words were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The status of complete spiritual darkness. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit teaches us all things and reveals all things and shines a heavenly searchlight on our own self-ignorance and pride. Yes, it may be painful for us to see the real us, blemishes and all. But the eye salve of the Holy Spirit that opens the eyes of our understanding or the eyes of our heart so that we can see the truth and hear the spiritual things, including our own condition and need brings healing and restoration. You remember Jesus anointed the blind man's eyes that he might see. I read that the medical school treated what was called in the day tender eyes, but they couldn't treat this kind of blindness with their medicine. Scripture says in Colossians 1 and 27 that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings spiritual sight and allows us to see what? The riches of his glory, of the mystery which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this is what Jesus wanted them to see, especially as they were facing opposition. Lukewarmness. Nobody likes to drink things that are supposed to be hot and comforting, but have become tepid or room temperature. Or conversely, things that are supposed to be cold and refreshing that have become warm and unenjoyable. This is what Jesus meant when he said, I will spew you out of my mouth, because they weren't what they were meant to be. Had they been hot, but had some failures along the way, Jesus would have lifted them up and said, hold on to the faith that was once delivered to the faith, and you'll make it through. Or had they been cold, he would have told them, return to your first love. But instead, they were indifferent, couldn't be tolerated. They had become affected by the culture. They'd absorbed the temperature of their surroundings. I think the hardest attitude to deal with in children, or even people or employees for that matter, is when they just don't care about the values that they've been taught. Reaching a closed heart is probably the hardest thing to do. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. But there's hope. Jesus said he rebukes those that he loves. He delivered a hard blow to the Laodiceans, not because he hated them, but because he loved them. I thought, what a beautiful picture of a loving father who would do the same to a wayward son. Son, I'm correcting you because I love you. I've seen Jim do that a few times. It broke his heart. But Jesus said, if you change your heart, I will grant you to sit on the throne with me. In closing, about 20 years ago, I wrote a chorus based on this passage in Revelation 3:18. We haven't sung it for many years. And when I spoke on this same passage 3 or 4 weeks ago, Don said, Mom, didn't you write a song about ISAV? I hadn't thought of it in years. Well, believe it or not, this past week, the Lord gave me a verse to go with the chorus. So in closing, we're going to try to sing it. It won't be perfect, believe me, because I'm singing it. But we're going to do the best we can to bring glory to God. This church has never been about entertainment or about performance. It's about worship. The song is a prayer, and it says, O Lord, we need the eye salve that we might see your face. O Lord, give us the eye salve to see your hand move in this place. It's the anointing of the eye salve that brings the truth to light, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed within our sight. And I'm missing the last page with a verse. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is the eye salve. He opens our heart's eyes to see, dispels darkness, despair, and blindness caused by pain and misery. Then we'll know the greatness of his power, his mighty power. Hope dawns and his glory we'll see. We pray, Holy Spirit, touch our eyes. We need you so desperately. And I'm sorry, I forgot to put it on the overhead. If you know the chorus, you can certainly sing along with us. And Audrey's going to help me. Unrehearsed. And on. You may have to cut this out. A song about eye salve, but the Lord gave it to me, like I said, 20 years ago. And I've been praying, as you all know and have heard me say, that the Holy Spirit would fall in this place. But you know, we have to be able to see and recognize him. He comes in many different ways and at different times. Like I said this morning in the worship, I just felt like he was right here with us, among us, in us, worshiping with us. And that's what I want the ISAV to do for us, to enable us to see him and where he's leading. And I'll turn the power back over to Don.
As I was saying earlier, that I was asking the Lord again, you know, what helped me understand what happened over the course of the last year with Dad. One of the things that happened over the course of that year with Dad was the last few times he preached here, I went upstairs to turn on the camera and then laid down on the floor and prayed through most of his sermons. Since the beginning of that difficult time last year, I came to church expecting the Lord to do something. And that hasn't stopped. I start thinking about it, you know, days before church starts, the Lord can do something amazing. And with all that we see going on in the world, I'm more and more expecting the Spirit of God to move and to do something amazing. And that I'm thankful for. The expectation that God can move, that his Spirit will move, whether it be just we come to the service and we're just blessed by the worship, we're just blessed by the word, we're just moved by his presence. I come expecting the presence of God and a touch from him. And I'm thankful, very thankful for that shift in me and just an excitement to see the Spirit of God move. Not just in our little body here, but all over the world, because we need it. We need it. I've heard people speak of another great awakening. I don't know what it will be called, but I look forward to seeing the Spirit of God move mightily in America and throughout the world, because souls need it. There are people lost, and there are people needing peace and unity. And the church, we have to be prepared with the guidance of the Lord and the Spirit to lead in unity. You know, if you can't get your own house in order, how can you be an example to the world, right? So we need to be prepared to love one another as we do. Even outside the four walls of this small church, we need to be prepared to love the body of Christ and as a body, love those that are lost and dying in a world that needs Christ. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, and we pray for the ISAV, Lord God, that reveals your truth, that reveals your move, Lord God, amongst us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord God, serving as that ISAV, serving as that revealing, serving as that, Lord, opening us up to see you and preparing us, Lord God, for you to move. Prepare our hearts, prepare our eyes to see and our ears to hear, Lord God, what you would say to your church and your people in this time. And we come each week and we go out each week expecting you to move, expecting great things from a God who has always only done great things. And so as we leave today, as we dismiss this morning, Lord God, we dismiss and we leave this house of worship, this house of prayer, this house of healing. We leave this place expecting your Spirit to move amongst this world, amongst the people. And we pray again, Lord God, for the lost and dying in this world, Lord God, to be woken up, that as your Spirit reveals the truth to us, that it also reveals, Lord God, the truth to them. And that as your Spirit moves throughout this world, Lord God, that eyes can be opened to darkness and light, to see truth and the false, to recognize the difference, and that the deceptions that have been covering their eyes like scales fall down, and that they can see the truth, Lord God, and truly make a decision, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you soften hearts and make a way for people to come and prepare your body to invite them in, to love them, Lord God, and to walk with them in truth. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.